Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
And a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name, Nick the Moose Batson, Commander-in-Chief, TipTV.co.uk. The date, Friday the 26th of September. We're here 10 a.m. every day, covering markets and sport, live from the heart of London, St. Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose.
Hola, it's me, one tip. Follow my tip every day. High conviction on Tip TV.
A very good morning to you and welcome along to the Premier League preview show here on Tip TV. I'm Nigel Seeley. Delighted to say joining me in the studio, the two, what do you call it? Two amigos, the two rogues, whatever you want to call it. For the blue corner bookmakers, Mr. Ed Fulton from Sporting Hits. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, yeah. Good week last week with the bookings. I'm in a bit of trouble with the boys in the office because we got very short of books, Chelsea, Man City, and we made bumper profit, and I hope a lot of people out there got stuck in. It cost us quite a few quid, so...
Well, like a true punter, you highlight your one winning bet, don't highlight your two losing bets?
Yes, two losing bets, but it's about making profit from the three, and it was a healthy profit from the three, so keep moving forward. And I got another bookings bet for us today, which I'm not quite as excited about, but it does involve one of the same teams, so that's all I'll say.
Okay,
will be revealed.
Stay tuned for that one, Ed's bet there. But obviously, three bets. You're going to make a good substantial profit on those spread bets. And also, Squawker Dave's here with all the analysts. How are you? How's it in Squawker Towers over the last...
Oh, it's all right. It's a bit busy. A lot of projects going on. But, you know, it's good to be busy, I'd say.
Always very good to be busy. One man who's always very busy is our football guest, former Southampton former Mr. Jason Dodd. How are you, sir?
I'm good, mate. Thanks.
Looking through your CV, Jason, under-18 coach at the academy. And in your time there, you must have seen some of these talented crop of players coming through at St. Mary's.
Yeah, I was very lucky. I was there for four or five years. And we had some, as you mentioned, excellent players come through. There's still a few there now. James Will Price, Sam Gallagher. But a few have left, and Callum Chambers and Luke Shaw and Alex Oddley-Chamberlain. And they're doing very well wherever they've gone.
Yep. OK, so that's it. That's the panel today. This is where you're going to go if you get your winner. So stay tuned and have a look around for some sporting bets. OK, we're going to start off on Saturday morning, the first game, or the early afternoon. The first game of the Premier League this weekend is the Merseyside Derby. And what a fantastic game to start. But I tell you what, boys, both of these sides coming in drastic form. The Layers make Liverpool favourites at 5-6. It's a team that got beat by Aston Villa in their last outing at Aston Villa. And the spreads, Ed, 0.6 to 0.8 Everton. But the one market there, total goals, over three, expect goals. It's bought in the index towers.
Yeah, it's pretty prohibitive price. You need four goals in the match to make profit if you're a buyer. As you said, it's last season this would look like an absolute cracking game, but Merseyside struggling this year. Liverpool look really, really poor without Suarez. They've had a long old game midweek in the cup, you know, what, 30 penalties there were at the end and extra time and all that. So how's that going to affect them? I know it wasn't the full team. And Everton, you know, bring back Moyes, because they were solid with Moyes. And, you know, Martinez plays a much more attacking game. And if they do come unstuck, and they do, they got beat midweek in the cup. Swansea, I think it was, stuffed them. So, yeah, this is a really hard game to call. Normally I'd highlight the bookings, 52-6. If this was at Goodison, I'd be excited. But weirdly, at Anfield, the bookings have been making up. Martin Atkinson's reffing as well. He's very lenient. Only 3 reds last year. I really can't find an angle on this. I fancy Liverpool probably, but at the price, would you pay 0.8 to get with them? I'm not sure. I think this is a tricky game to call. It's dangerous, but I'm possibly thinking under goals here. I think it's so high and both sides are struggling. I think both sides will almost take a draw right now just to stabilise their season, Liverpool particularly. So I'm not sure how it's going to set up, but really tricky game from a punting point of view. And I wait and see what the market does, but I just don't know. I don't know.
That's why we're paying the big bucks, to not have a clue.
there's other games, but I think we've got so many games to look at. If you have a strong view on this, good luck to you, but I just don't have one.
You took two of my stats there. Martin Atkins has given 4 red cards in 80 matches,
yep.
Only one last season. And in this game, the last 2 years, it's been 3 bookings. So
at Anfield, yeah.
Yeah, Anfield, maybe under 52. The red card seems to happen across the park over at Goodison. Jason, you know, Everton come here, conceded 17 goals already this season, which is quite staggering when you consider how defensively strong they were. And they haven't won a Merseyside derby since 1999 at Anfield. Can they turn that around?
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be, I think, it all depends how the game's going to start and how we were speaking about how they're both going to set up, because it is vitally important. Liverpool have struggled, really, for the players that they brought in and how they want to play. They've not really got going. Now, you expect it. I don't think Liverpool, especially their supporters, would be happy going into the game to get a point. They realise to kickstart their season, they must get a result in this game. So it'll probably be Everton will be sitting back and seeing what's happening, maybe counter-attacking against Liverpool. But I see it either, like you say, you've got 14-1 on the 0-0. I know it doesn't sound exciting, but I mean, I would imagine that the focal point for both teams would have been their defending and their units to make sure that they're going to be solid. So it will either be a 0-0 or there will be lots of goals and carrying on the poor start that both of them have had.
Yeah, I like the draw here. It's 14-5. Walker, Dave, you've got some analysis on the game here. This is Everton's interception map in their game. Who's this against?
So this is against Palace last week. What we noticed from here is Everton, really, you know, they've conceded 13 goals in the league, more than any other side. Compare it to last season, they conceded 10 in 10 games last season, first 10 games. So it's really sort of dropped out. And we mentioned Moyes before, and it's quite interesting to see that potentially they're losing that defensive solidarity from Moyes' era. And that's sort of going. They've made the most defensive errors in the Premier League, 9-5 leading to goals. So they're goals that wouldn't have been conceded under Moyes, you'd say. Going back to the interceptions, they were averaging 12 last season per game. So to sit, you know, 5 up, is there enough pressure on the ball? Are they working hard enough? There's a lot of questions for Martinez to answer, really.
Yeah, has he got the answers, do you think?
Maybe not.
And sorry.
So you're looking at under Wigan, you'd say, Martinez under Wigan. They did concede quite a few goals. He switched to a back three again, going away from that back four to try and, you know, surprise teams and catch them out. So you could potentially see Everton through the season maybe moving to that system.
OK, so give us a scoreline. Jason, this game, what are we going for?
I'm going to go for 0-0.
0-0 against the norm. I like that. What do you like?
1-0 Liverpool.
1-0 Liverpool?
2-2.
I like a 2-2. I like the old Desmond as well. The old Desmond.
Desmond.
I like the Desmonds, I tell you. We're going to go for the 2-2 there for me. So 3 of us on the panel going for a draw there. If you are back in Everton, remember they've got a terrible record against their Merseyside rivals. 3 o'clock game, Chelsea against Aston Villa. Chelsea are the shortest price on the Premier League coupon for this game, and no surprise. But teams in the week ahead of Champions League games are usually not to be trusted at short price odds. I'll go with you on Jason. What have you seen at Chelsea? Do you think they're going to win the Premier League, and do you think they'll win 3 points here?
I think at the moment, yeah, you'd have to fancy them because they've had a really good start. This, I think, would be the game where you get to find out about them. They're going to know that Aston Villa are going to be solid, and it's going to be up to the star players then to turn it on, because Villa are not going to come out flying and they're going to be bodies getting forward. They're going to work as they have done in their 5 games so far, working solidly to go forward. So it's going to be up to the stars of Chelsea really to break them down. And it's if they get an early goal, then it means that Villa will have to change their style of play. I think they've got to go fast and score a goal within the first 20-odd minutes, and that will set the tone for the game. But I think it's going to be a a low-scoring game. Like I said, I don't think Villa are going to concede too many, but Chelsea are in superb form, so it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, 1-5 on the spreads, 1.95, 2.15, Ed. And as a market maker on this game, 2 years ago, Chelsea won 8-0.
Yeah.
And then the year previous to that, Villa won 3-1. So it's a difficult one for layers and for punters.
Yeah, and Chelsea scored, I think, 16 goals in five games against Villa. Villa only 8 shots on target all season, which seems like a ridiculous stat, but it's true. I'm prepared to put an asterisk next to the game against Arsenal last week. By all accounts, there was some illness in the camp, and it was 3 crazy minutes where they shipped 3 goals just before half-time. And then they came back, and it was 0-0 in the second half. So we've talked a bit in the last few weeks about how Roy Keane's given them a new steal, and they've obviously been humiliated at the Bridge before. Chelsea, Europe next, in a few days. And, a game against Bolton in the Cup, which they should have won easily, but Shirley could have had a hat-trick before half-time. So I think Chelsea will win. Would you pay 2.15? I'm not so sure. I've been impressed enough with Villa to be put off doing that. Perhaps if you have to do fixed odds, I'll be looking at 2-0 Chelsea, something like that. I think, unlike most Mourinho sides, this Chelsea's leaked a few goals. You know, we've seen the new keeper, that back four looking so solid. They've been a little bit shaky. So Mourinho's not entirely happy with them. Nice position to be in. So I think the focus will be on the defence, and if Villa can stick with it. If you're looking at another fixed odds, maybe sort of draw half-time, Chelsea full-time, something like that. I think it might, it might take a while for Chelsea to wear Villa down. But we're quite defensive with our supremacy because of past results. So it's a tricky one. This is where you want to go, the bookings. Mr. Dowd, arbiting, he loves to get his cards out. And if this was at Villa, we've had 110 and 100 the last two games at Villa. It was a 50 at the Bridge, so there's a little bit of history between the sides. And I think Villa are quite spiky this year. Chelsea obviously are. Ivanovic is always in for a yellow. And I think that line will be brought up quite significantly before the off. Anything up to 42, I'd be prepared to pay. I think this could be another make-up, possibly a red card as well.
34, 38. If you are getting long on the bookies, one thing you don't want is an early goal. You want to keep it really tight.
You don't want an early Chelsea goal.
You want an early Villa goal. If it goes 2-0 up after 10 minutes, we might be in a bit of trouble. Squawker Dave, we've got a graphic here now on Chelsea's goal against Manchester City. So we talked to this.
Yeah, so I just wanted to highlight the goal. It was from a City corner. Really interesting how they broke. Eden Hazard, crucial in this move, played the first ball out of the defence to the left flank, then, provided the cross for the goal. And I just think Eden Hazard, Fabregas has been getting all the headlines, creating the chances, getting the assists. But it'll be Eden Hazard that will win you the big games. Yeah, against City last season, away at City, arguably the best performance for Chelsea of the season. He was absolutely brilliant, Eden Hazard, I thought, through a game. And again, I thought he was excellent against Man City. Completed 32 take-ons in the Premier League this season. That's double the amount of any other player. So he's really going at men this season and beating them. I think that's going to be. He's going to score goals, get you assists, and it'll be, I think, Chelsea for the title this year after that game.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Bookies make them odds-on favourites, and they're very heavy odds-on to continue that charge with 3 points against Aston Villa. Score, guys, start with Jason.
1-0 Chelsea.
2-0 Chelsea.
2-0 Chelsea.
I like 1-0, so split there, 1-0 and 2-0. I think it's a tricky game with a big match in Europe when you consider they dropped points against Schalke. And I think the team news might be crucial. I've got a feeling they may rest Costa, but we'll wait and see. Yeah. OK, Manchester United, they need to bounce back and need to bounce back fast from their 5-3 humiliation against Leicester last time out. And they've got a tricky game at home to West Ham at Old Trafford. 1-3 Manchester United here. Now, Jason, you said to me offshore that you're not really a massive gambling fan, but a big gambler. But Manchester United at 3-1 on what we've seen, nothing about betting. If someone says you bet Man United in this game, watch his football match, you conceded 5 goals against Leicester, you have 30 quid on, you win a tenner. What are you going to say to that?
Well, it's Man United. I think that's what you're going to say. I think that everyone's just assuming and waiting for them to obviously win a game and go on a run. It's going to be difficult on Saturday, I think, because West Ham, everyone knows the style of play that West Ham, very direct, very physical. With all the injuries that Man United got, I think they've only got one fit centre-half. So West Ham will, I imagine their game plan will to go and exploit that and to get the ball forward quickly, maybe keep it away from the flair players, because going forward and offensively, they are fantastic. So game plan, I imagine, would be to get the ball forward as quickly as possible. And obviously, Carrick might be playing at centre-half, so you're going to have a midfield player. So they will probably isolate, I imagine, the middle of the park. and it all depends. We don't know who's going to play centre-half. So it'll be interesting to see how they set up. I think we mentioned earlier, Luke Shaw, I think he's fit now, so whether will he come back into play? I don't know whether he can play as a centre-half. So it'll be interesting to see when we know the lineup and that, how they're going to go about their game plan.
Manchester United here on Sportsnet. It's a 1.45, 1.65 favourites. If you're going to buy them at 1.65, you need them to win by two or more goals to make money. But Ed, there's one price that just jumps off the board there. The total goals, 3.4 to 3.6. Probably the highest in the Premier League this season. But you couldn't be a seller.
You couldn't be. No, I agree. Absolutely, the way West Ham have to go about it is attack them. Man, you have never been more vulnerable. Apart from that result at home against QPR, they've looked awful. You can score against them, and that's really the focus, I think, from a punting point of view, West Ham to score goals. Man, you should have enough to win it. But, you know, I thought West Ham were terrific against Liverpool last week. Really, you know, everyone's saying, well, Allardyce, it's like watching Brazil, you know, the new Allardyce Max, or whatever you want to call it, where they're direct, they're good to watch. And I thought it was a terrific game. Man U have won 31 out of 33 points against West Ham, which is, even for, you know, obviously that was in the good days, but that's pretty impressive, you know, to drop 2 points out of 33. But this is a completely different setup. From the spread point of view, and we'll talk about in the tips, I'm looking, you're getting an hour for West Ham to score a goal, so I'm selling at 59. I think Man U will probably win, but I think the Hammers can go at them and score, and that's the focus. And then it doesn't matter if they win or lose. But three's on. We talked about this all season. You're nuts, frankly. There's nothing to suggest. You know, you say, oh, these great players. When they went 3-1 up at Leicester and Di Maria got that wonderful little dink, and you just thought, you know, back. Okay, finally they've done. And then capitulation. Mm. And West Ham are a better team than Leicester, you would say. So, you know, it's Old Trafford, fine, but, you know, people, I know a few people that are backing Van Gaal to be the next manager to be sacked, which is, you know.
Well, Mr. Pardew, you hate is a very clear favourite of that market.
What, to take over at Old Trafford?
No,
that would be a little bit fanciful, backing Pardew Old Trafford. But yeah, no, it's crazy times at the moment, and in crazy times you don't take short prices. I couldn't pay the goals, but just, I think people are watching Man U games now with a car crash fascination. What's going to happen? Are they going to win 5-0 or are they going to get beat again? If they get beat again, then who knows, you know, the reaction.
I think the 1-3 is a crazy price. Manchester United should win the game on paper. West Ham 8-1. The total goals 3-4-3. That brings in both teams to score. Yes, 8-11. I like that a lot.
I think that's
probably the best way to play on the fixed odds. And even some of these correct scores, if you go some really wacky scores at 101, 5-2, 6-2, 6-3, this could be anything. We've seen a 6-3 in Chelsea Everton. We've seen a 5-3 last week. So let's have a few quid on some big prices there. Squawker Dave, let's have a look at you've highlighted one of the players for us in his performance against Leicester. Talk us through this one.
So this is Daley Blind against Leicester, his pass map. It was really interesting. He had a direct opponent against Leicester. The Leicester set up with a bit of a 4-4-2 diamond. David Nugent sort of sat on Daley Blind, and Daley Blind just couldn't get in the game. He couldn't get the ball to those attacking players that you want to get it to. You want to get it forward, you want to get it early. And he just looked a bit lost in a way that he wasn't dominating the game. Because against, you know, the game before, if we just flip to the next pass map.
Go to the next pass, that's the one against QPR.
Completed 111 passes against QPR. He absolutely dominated the game. He had the space. He was the free man in midfield for Man United, and he showed that he could dominate the game. But it'd be really interesting. We talked about centre-backs before. Man United have got, like, you know, don't have many options there at the moment with all the injuries. Will Daley Blind step into centre-back, and then who's going to play midfield? We've got a lot of issues at the moment with the side. I think it's a bit unbalanced, as everyone's sort of made out.
I put him in my fantasy team after that performance, and I took him straight out after the week. There you go. Let's have a look at another shot you got. This is what we've got here.
So this is from the 60th minute to the 80th minute. Man United failed to win a tackle in their own half against Leicester, and that's when Leicester scored their three goals, was it? So that's just, like, incredible. How can you not make a tackle in your own half when there's so much pressure against you? Who's stepping up? Who's being that leader? We saw Wayne Rooney lose his rag after the Cambiasso goal, but he had opportunities to clear that ball, and he was sort of shouting at other people and not taking the responsibility on himself as you'd want a captain to do.
OK, another graphic for us quickly.
Got Enner Valencia. I reckon he's going to be to score at Man United. I reckon he looked really sharp. He's got a lovely trajectory when he strikes the ball. So, yeah, I'm going to go with maybe first goal scorer. Yeah,
and a Valencia scored the first goal, a tasty price. Score any time in a game, we expect goals poured in. It's 3-4, 3-6. Very, very high score, guys.
I'm going to go with 2-2. Can I just get one quick stat in? Man U have lost 10 of the last 25 games. The previous 10 losses were over 148 games. That, to me, that one stat sums up the Moyes era and the Van Gaal era. It's a huge, huge decline.
A massive decline, but he still thinks he's going to get a point against West Ham. 2-2?
4-2.
4-2?
2-1, Man U.
7-4 for me. OK, last game is all about Arsenal against Tottenham, the North London derby, Saturday night. Arsenal favourites 8-11 on the fixed odds, 0.65, 0.85. Tottenham only won once in 25 years in this game. Ed, what's the market maker's view here?
Yeah, we got Arsenal favourites. I think a lot of people will be tempted with 0.85, so any sort of Arsenal win, you're making money. Goals, I'm not so sure about. I think Arsenal will win 1 or 2-0, so I wouldn't put people off buying the spreads. I think Spurs, we got a bit excited after the QPR game, but no, a nice, comfortable home win for Arsenal, but not by much.
Yeah, Arsenal played Tottenham last season 3 times. They won them all 2-0. Tottenham didn't score, and they're not scoring goals at the moment this season either.
No, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a tight game, but I honestly think that Spurs, I mean, they've been a bit hit and miss in that as well. But I just think the goals that they scored in the week go to Arsenal. Arsenal are going to be under pressure. Everyone assumes that Arsenal is going to win the game. Will they get a bit nervy? They didn't have a particularly good result in the week. I know they were missing some players, but it's still, it's that winning mentality that you want to get. So I think Spurs could surprise a few people.
Yeah, surprise. And that 25 years of hurt. 4-1 to win, 8-11 Arsenal. Arsenal in action against Galatasaray in midweek in the Champions League. Mesut Ozil is 9-1 to score the first goal. He scored last week at Aston Villa. And we've got his heat map against Dortmund here, Dave.
So you can see his heat map here. He was playing the left-hand side of a 4-3-3, and he just wasn't getting involved in the game. If you compare that to his heat map against Villa last weekend.
Yeah, put the Villa one up now. There we go.
He's very much more involved. He's involved on, you know, throughout that sort of number 10 zone. You know, he's drifting wide, he's creating chances. He's got, you know, quite his heat map's quite dark on that sort of that inside left channel, the classic playmaking channel. And he was just brilliant, I thought, against Villa. If we go on to his pass map. Got his pass map again against Dortmund. You see he's not involved at all in central areas. He's not really making anything happen. Compare that against the Villa pass map. Competed 69 passes against Villa, created 2 chances, got the assist and scored the goal. So for me, Mesut Ozil has got to play central.
Yeah, he looked very good against Villa. He's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders to deliver, but he's young. You forget how young the guy is. But he is a class player. 9-1 to score the first goal. Around about 7-4 to score any time. And that's why I'm having a few quid. OK, high conviction time. This is where Ed tries to play up the winnings from last week. He's got 3 for us today. And you know what, Ed? I quite like, look at all these 3. Talk us through your thoughts.
Yeah, we've alluded to a couple of these already. Start of the bridge, the bookings, we know, Dowd. Feisty encounter, Villa to hold on, keep it tight. So paying 38, so it's 10 for a yellow. So anything more than 4 yellows, you're making money. We've said we're getting an hour for West Ham to score at Old Trafford. Doesn't matter what the result is. Selling at 59. So if they score in the 30th minute, you're making 29 times your stake. And this is a game we haven't talked about, but West Brom, Burnley. I don't think you're going to sell many tickets for this one if you're not a rabid Baggies fan or a Burnley fan. But just before half-time, we can get there 0-0. A lot of people are talking about it. It's a 0-0 certainty. Anything after 42 minutes, we're going to make money. If we get a 0-0, we're looking at a nice 48 profit. So hopefully we can turn these ones into a bumper weekend.
Yeah, like we did last week. Ed, so just a recap of Ed's Fulton's high conviction tips today. Sell the time of the first West Ham goal at 59 in Manchester United West Ham. Buy the time of the first match goal in West Brom against Burnley, Super Sunday, trade subscriptions. Chelsea v Aston Villa, buy bookings at 38. OK, guys, thank you very much for joining me. Jason, thanks for making your Tip TV debut. Hopefully, if you do have a bet on anything the boys have suggested here, please do not gamble with what you cannot afford to lose. And before you go, we have a competition, a Tip TV competition. Answer this question by tweeting us at @officialtiptv or emailing us at info@tiptv.co.uk. The question is, which Tottenham Hotspur player injured his hamstring by celebrating the equaliser in the final game of the 2004 season between Tottenham and Arsenal, minutes before Arsenal won the league? Please provide your questions through, and if you win, you get a signed book from the Arsenal Wenger's greatest matches by Laith Youssef. So if you're an Arsenal fan, make sure you know that. If you're a Tottenham fan, I don't think you should be bothering entering. You'll be watching the football. But anyway, that's been the sports show here on Tip TV. We're going for a quick break. When we come back, we'll be looking ahead to all the other Premier League matches this weekend.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.